Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happening, Tinky and Tierney ready to roll on this Tuesday around the country. What's up? Hope everybody's doing great. Tinky and Tierney here. Tinky, Barber, Brandon Tierney from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. All right, the spotlight's back on Kershaw tonight. The World Series begins. The storied fable Dodgers against the little engine that could. The Rays will obviously hit that. Teak, a lot of football as well. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Oh, it's good, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Thank you.
Dallas fans aren't doing great, that's
no.
For sure.
I live with one of them.
I know.
I mean, so, you know, it's crazy, too, watching that game. And we'll certainly weave in the Chiefs and the Bills, but boy, I mean, they went from, this is an alarmingly off start to the season to, well, the quarterback's out for the season, and now you suddenly have a running back who can't hold on to the ball, and now, weekly, you have a defense that completely gets gashed, and apparently now, probably most disconcerting, based on the report from Jane Slater, a coaching staff that's somewhere between clueless, unprepared, and incapable of teaching.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
those are quotes, by the way.
Yeah, that's a bad scenario that's going on with Mike McCarthy's new staff.
I mean, Teak, they're not even saying that about Adam Gase.
No, exactly. And we know that those guys aren't being coached well. So, yeah. I mean, it's easy to point fingers. Let me stand corrected. It's easy to point fingers. It's hard to know where to point fingers to because Zeke is doing something he just doesn't historically do, putting the ball on the carpet. He did it twice. And I mean, I can't even say that it was him trying to, you know, he was trying too hard. Like he was trying to get an extra yard, or it was just him being stupid. You know, get the ball in your hands, put it away. When you get into contact, wrap yourself up and go to the ground, period. And he hasn't been doing that. That's why he has four fumbles, maybe even five.
He's got actually. Five.
Five got fumbles, five. Four that have been lost. And he's become a liability for this team because right now, when you, in that game last night, they were kind of in control at points, and then those two turnovers flipped it, and they never, ever regained momentum.
No, they didn't. I mean, how about this tweet? So just so everybody knows what I'm referencing, Jane Slater had this roughly an hour or so ago, and Jane is with the NFL Network, and she tweeted this out. She said, Cowboys players initially bought into keeping things internal. So there was early issues immediately.
Yeah, so that tells you that something that was going on that we never even heard about.
Correct. Now as they sit 2-4, the discontent is leaking out. On the coaching staff, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjustments on the fly. And somebody else added, they just aren't good at their jobs.
Wow.
End quote.
Wow.
I mean, no, we don't know who said that, but those are direct words attributed to, granted, anonymous sources, but wow. Jane Slater's a real journalist. She's not just going to make this up. There are problems. There are leaks. There are holes. And, you know, I'll tell you, I was thinking about this, too, because this is a small part of the equation, but doesn't last night's result even give us more incentive to say, Ron Rivera, what the hell are you doing going for the 2 points against the Giants?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we said it yesterday.
That's why I bring it back up.
Absolutely. Because the Cowboys at 2-4 or 2-5, 2-3 right now, are sitting atop the division. It doesn't make any sense that the NFC East is one what, collectively five games, right?
Five Washington games. Washington has one. Giants have one.
Philly has one.
Philly has one, and Dallas has three.
Five. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, they have five. They have five wins out of the four teams in the division. We are 6 weeks in. Actually, the Cowboys are 2-4. We're 6 weeks in, BT. There are five wins between the four teams in the NFC East. That is pathetic.
Now, just to compare it, there's 15 in the North, the AFC North. Mm-hmm. 15.
Yeah, 15 wins.
Exactly. Yeah. Versus five, there's nine, there's 13, there's 16 in the NFC West. I mean, even with the lowly Falcons, you still have 11 wins in total there in the NFC South. I mean, that is just a ghastly total. And it hasn't gotten better from last year.
No.
I think the only difference, at least this year in the NFC East, at least perceptually, okay, Washington has a coach that everybody can believe in and buy into the system that eventually he'll get this right.
Yep. You feel like there is hope, even though it's brand new. You're bad right now, but it feels hopeful in Washington.
And quite frankly, Teek, I have similar hope for the Giants because, let's see, Saquon's gone.
Yep.
Sterling's been hurt.
Yep, all the injuries.
Yeah. And
their young offensive line. Mm-hmm. Andrew Thomas might get benched, their first-round draft, first left tackle.
Well, he did get benched, but not for play. He got benched for something else to start the game. But he has not played.
Yeah, they're talking about benching him for performance.
I know. But the bottom line, Giant fans, I tweeted something out like about this yesterday. Giant fans roll over me. And I'm not saying that Andrew Thomas can't become a serviceable player. Remember, he was supposed to be on the right side, as you know.
Yep.
And then Nate Solder opted out because his son, I believe, either has cancer or has battled cancer.
Yeah. And Nate has as well. Yeah.
Yeah, as he has as well. So yeah, flip him over to the left side. And without, a real practice, a real lengthy summer session, I get it. It's not the easiest thing to do. But what makes it really disconcerting from Giants' point of view is that, every other left tackle that was taken after him looks like a stud.
That's right.
I mean, Becton's a beast. Yep. Wills is a beast. And who am I forgetting? Worfs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all pretty good.
Yeah, you're right.
We chatted about this
offline a week ago, or maybe even 2 weeks ago at this point. You're like, did he miss again?
I'm just not a Gettleman guy. I never have been.
He just may have missed. I think I don't want to give up on these kids yet. Will Hernandez is who he is, but left guard for the New York Giants and Andrew Thomas. But still, the point is, all of these teams on the NFC East are looking bad and playing poorly, and the Cowboys, who are sitting atop the division, have probably the biggest issues of all the teams, even though they're sitting atop the division, with two wins, everyone else is one. The Washington football team, there's hope. They believe that they're going somewhere with Ron Rivera. The Giants, new staff, they'll figure it out. Yeah, they got to figure out their offensive line. It is what it is. But there's hope to go forward. The Philadelphia Eagles, you're only a couple years removed from winning a championship. And to be honest with you, Carson Wentz has been balling.
He's laying it on the line this week.
Dude, he is. I mean, he throws too many interceptions. He didn't have one last week. But he's balling, and he's keeping them in games. And they're almost winning against some really good teams, right? So the Philadelphia Eagles, even though they're 1-4-1, they feel like there's some positivity here. The Cowboys, even though they have the most wins, feel like the most depressing one out of all of them because their staff, who you thought was going to be good, led by Mike McCarthy, who has a history and pedigree as a championship under his belt, they're disjointed. They don't have any clue of how to tackle, how to cover, hold on to the ball, don't have turnovers. And it's interesting because Jerry Jones was talking about this after the game, BT, and looking at how important Dak Prescott was. I don't think we realized it, but it really looks glaring how different this Cowboys team is without Dak Prescott.
I noticed it too.
Right? We like Andy Dalton. We thought Andy Dalton would be fine because he doesn't make mistakes. Even though he did last night, but he's steady. He's a vet. You're going to run the ball more because this is what you have to do when you have Ezekiel Elliott, and he can be your catalyst. You got to run the ball more. They looked exactly the same, but worse because they couldn't come back.
Their offensive line's a mess.
Garbage now.
That's a word that is reserved for the bottom feeders, but it's kind of close to garbage.
Yep.
And it doesn't allow you to do much downfield because you just have to get rid of the ball. There was one play, Gallup was wide open. Andy Dalton's got to connect on that. You have to.
Yep.
You see when he's got to evade, and avoid some of the rush here, gets out of the pocket. it just looks, you know, 2.5 steps slower than Dak. And Dak's not Lamar Jackson.
No.
Or Kyler Murray. We'll get to that game in a little bit, as we said, a little later. But you just see it's very, very different. And suddenly it is very, very dark. But the one saving grace is this horrendous division.
Yeah.
But you have to wonder when the intellect of a staff, when the ability to teach and basically just do your primary responsibility is questioned, you have to wonder the tentacles that will, you know, how far will this stretch? And Mike was asked about this, because when you have players saying, you know, on the record without their names, but certainly offering opinions, I guess it's off the record, but however you want to frame it, Mike McCarthy was asked about, well, what was practice like this week? And here's McCarthy saying, well, we were humming. Practice was good.
You know, I felt like the preparation coming into the game was probably our best so far this year. But obviously that doesn't account for anything. Particularly after a performance like tonight.
Best week of the year.
Yeah.
Best week of the year, and you had 4 turnovers.
And arguably their worst performance of the year.
It was their worst performance of the year. Now, granted, it's Andy Dalton versus Dak Prescott, but still, it was the worst performance of the year, because there should have been 6 turnovers in this game. A couple of defenders for the Cardinals dropped, you know, easy interceptions. And, I mean, I'm not sure how it gets better in Dallas, especially when you start digging into like the details of how the Cowboys used to win. Now, granted, they didn't get deep into the postseason. They didn't have like a Super Bowl run. But it felt like for the last few years, you could count on the Cowboys to be steady. I mean, they were going to run the football. They were going to do play action pass. But now you started to see this fundamental shift. And I mean, I don't want to put it all on one guy. But you know what happens with offensive coordinators who get elevated to positions of power. Mike McCarthy comes in. He's a new head coach. He holds on to a couple of the staff, most notably Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator. And if you're an offensive coordinator in this league and you're young and innovative and you can create, you're growing a young man in Dak Prescott, where is your mind? I don't want to be an OC for the entirety of my life. I want to be a head coach. Mm-hmm. So what we've seen fundamentally, BT, is a shift from the Cowboys from running the ball 30 to 35, maybe even 40 times a game, to throwing the ball 40 to 65 times a game. And that's ego of an offensive coordinator. If we can't get this thing done on the ground and play fundamentals and field position and ball control, you know what, let's just air it out. And yeah, you can get away with that sometimes with Dak Prescott. You still weren't winning. You can get away with it, and it looks good, and you put up these humongous numbers. Look, I turned Dak Prescott into a 450 a game, you know, yard a game passer. Look how great I am. But you're losing. And at the end of the day, if you're losing, it doesn't matter how good the stats look.
I'm with you. Last night, we should know by now, because we all get wrapped up in fantasy football, the highlights and the ridiculous, you know, stats, and it's a totally different era. But last night was another, you know, not too subtle reminder. If you can't block the couple of, and by the way, Chandler Jones didn't play. He's out.
I know.
Imagine if Buddha Baker was sick. He was great. But you know, I mean, if Chandler Jones is wreaking havoc, that's 2 or 3 more sacks, and who the heck knows what happens there. It's crazy though, because you look everywhere you look, you know, whether it's Cooper, whether it's CeeDee Lamb, who's going to be a star, whether it's Michael Gallup, who I've said for 2 years, I think is a borderline one, maybe not right now. He doesn't look it, but when he's on, he looks the part.
Yep.
I really, really like him. You've got one of the 4 or 5 best running backs in football. You know, what the hell's the issue? Well, the issue is you lost your starting quarterback. And the issue before that is that your offensive line each year, you know, given the atrocious nature of the sport, a couple of years back, Tyron Smith's back started to bark. And then it would creep over to obviously Fredericks, and then it would creep. And then before you know it, you got 5 new guys.
Yeah.
And they're backups for a reason.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. And when you have backups trying to do, you know, a starter's role, it forces you to overthink. It forces you to, you know, do things that you wouldn't normally do, and you're outside of your comfort zone, and you're 2-4. But somehow still leading the division, but you're 2-4. And no one has faith that you're any good at this point.
No, and really, the division's the joke of the NFL. It's the joke of the NFL.
It is.
But it's, and again, I know we just went through And I stand by this. We both believe in Ron Rivera. We both believe in Joe Judge's vision. No, I don't believe in Gettleman, but I believe in Joe. You know that.
Yeah, of course.
You know, obviously the Eagles have recent Super Bowl pedigree, and Carson's a tough kid who's got talent. He's got to fix a few things, but whatever. I mean, when you cherry pick, and of course there's a lot of talent in Dallas, when you cherry pick, you can prop it up and make it seem, well, it's really not that bad. But it is, because it's another year of this. Last year was the same thing.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it was a race to who's going to get the 500.
That's right. And the Eagles got the 500. They got into the postseason. And the Cowboys should have walked away with the division.
They really should have. I want to play this, and then we'll get into an interesting decision by the Dolphins out of nowhere today. We'll get to that coming up. But Zeke Elliott, let's face it, had a man up. And he did. A response, you know, the thumb went to his chest. You got to respect this. Took full ownership on a brutal night, putting the ball on the carpet. Here's Zeke.
I'm supposed to be a guy this team can rely on. I'm supposed to be a guy that this team can lean on when times get rough. And I just wasn't that today. I got us started off to a terrible start. The defense were playing. They were playing well. But I killed our momentum. Two fumbles, I can't do that. I can't.
There you go. Yep. I mean, you got to respect that. He's taking ownership, but you got to keep the ball in the belly, man.
I agree. That's Look, it. I tell you, the stats lie to you here. So much it lies to you.
Go ahead.
The Dallas Cowboys have the number one offense in football.
Yeah, it might be behind. They've got the number one offense in football.
It just lies to you. It's stats. You know, it's lies, damn lies, and statistics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one offense in football. You just don't see it.
Not accurate.
It's not accurate. It doesn't mean a thing. Don't look at stats. Watch the games. And if you watch the Dallas Cowboys, you see a bad product.
Inadequacies all across the board. And as we learned today, apparently quite obvious ones in terms of how the players perceive the coaches. This situation, we think, is probably going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Yep.
All right, T, coming up, the Dolphins situation is pretty good, but, you know, here we go. Tua time. Hashtag Tua. Tua's sitting there on the 15, FaceTiming. He's such a good kid. FaceTiming.
Awesome. I could totally see him, like, just having it, because we met his dad, mom and dad.
We did.
And maybe one of his siblings, too, at the Super Bowl last year. Family is just amazing.
Great family.
When I saw that, it just resonated. It felt good in my heart to see him do that.
Me too. Didn't surprise me. For those who missed it, he's sitting on the 15, like Indian style, cross-legged, if you will, and he's calling his parents and he's FaceTiming to share the moment. Hey, look, you know, after an arduous 9 months, basically a little more than that, here we are. We made it back and we threw a couple of passes and we completed them, by the way. And we're here. We're back on the football field. Pretty poignant stuff. But did the Dolphins make the move a little early?
Mm.
We're going to dissect that. There's a conversation to be had. Points made both ways. We'll do it. And that's next as Tua gets ready to come out of the pen for Miami. That's next on Tiki and Tierney. All right, get in on all the football action with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Now, to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes that's up for grabs. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat. Nothing like a little sweat. You know what does the sweat mean? The sweat means when you're coming down the stretch and it's you don't know if you're going to win or lose, and it's that rush that is very hard to replicate, quite frankly. It's called that's the sweat when you got a little something, whether it's a little something on a team, whether it's a little something on a lineup, and that's what you do with DraftKings. It's absolutely phenomenal. Simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. So, if you're looking forward to this weekend's UFC 254 fight, it's an afternoon start, by the way. All right, be sure to check out DraftKings MMA contest. A lot of options there for you as well. Download the DraftKings app, all right? Simple, it's on my phone. You hear my phone? Banging it on my desk, the app. I'm looking at the app right now. It's user-friendly. It's so easy to navigate. Download it, get yourself going, and use code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. That's code Tierney. Hook yourself up, get a little discount, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y, to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's at DraftKings. Download the app, use code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposits required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. That's DraftKings.com. All righty. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by GEICO. Want to know what's really scary? seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. Keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. All right, Tiki and Tierney back, CBS Sports Radio. TV will join us in hour number three. Right now, we're just rolling old school radio, you know, radio.com, all of our great affiliates, 150 plus across the country. Great to have you. I want to get us on Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, Sirius XM 206. Another way to catch the show. And if you miss anything, youtube.com/Tiki and Tierney, subscribe. And make sure you click that bell, and when something new drops, you'll get it. Great way to keep up with all the content here on Tiki and Tierney. All right, this was a surprise. This kind of came out of nowhere. Tua is going to take over the starting job for the Dolphins. Now, let me just set the scene here, and then you can first weigh in if this is the right move or the wrong move. Here are facts. You ready?
Yep.
We're talking about a team that's 3-3 and in second place in the AFC East.
By now, a game. Only by a game, too.
By a game. But the team in front of them, the Bills, have lost two straight, and it looked good again last night. We'll get to that. The team behind them, the Pats, they've lost two straight as well, although you've got to have conviction that they'll button things up at some point. But they are still 2-3, and it's October. They're under 500. You're in a race with teams like the Colts, who had a great comeback with Phillip Rivers coming back from 21 down. The Raiders, who were coming off a win and a bye. The Browns, who still can't beat the Steelers. Those are teams you're contending with for that final wild card spot if you can't unseat the Bills or the Pats, whatever, for the division. You're plus 47-point differential. You have a good energy. You've won a couple of games straight yourselves. Your veterans playing well. Teague, I don't get it.
Yeah, well, I don't get it. I think I do, BT. Okay. Here's why. So they lost to the Patriots week one. We all remember that one. And then the Bills. They won against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They lost to the Seattle Seahawks. They obliterated the San Francisco 49ers, albeit without Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo got benched in that game because he wasn't fully healthy. And then they beat the New York Jets. So they've beaten the teams that they were supposed to beat. And they've lost to the teams that I hate to say this because it's the NFL, but they were supposed to lose to. You know what I mean? So they've won what they're supposed to win. They've lost kind of from the outside looking in where they're supposed to lose. And now they're going into their bye week. What I've always maintained, BT, that I think the reason that Tua wasn't given a real opportunity to compete for the job was twofold. One, there's no offseason. So he wasn't around anything. He didn't see, you know, and be able to execute all of the X's and O's in the offseason. And it didn't happen until training camp, where he was probably limited. They're still trying to figure out how healthy he is. And so as a result, you know, it was all Ryan Fitzpatrick, because Ryan Fitzpatrick, and obviously Brian Flores, wants to be a winner. He's going to put the guy who's in the best position to help him win. That was Ryan Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. Tua, after, you know, now 6 weeks of the regular season, including 4 weeks of, you know, actually, I think it was longer. It's like 6 weeks of training camp, too. He's gotten, 12 weeks, 3 months of NFL experience, even though he's not really playing. They are confident that he's healthy now. He goes in to the game, gets knocked down, you know, one time or so, looks healthy, you know, completes his passes, gets the ball out on time. Difficult throws, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so
couple
rollouts. So he looks healthy, and now you're going into your bye week. This is when you usually make the change, if you know that at some point you're going to make that change, is in the bye week. And especially because you come back, you know, on the other side, you play the Rams, it's at home. It just makes sense to do it now, especially because as much as we like Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's been erratic, man. I mean, his completion percentage is very high.
70%.
I know, but you know how it used to be like, yeah, you get like 62% or 63%. That's pretty good in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. 70 is the new average, by the way. Like, if you're not over 70, you're kind of, because of the dink and dunk nature of the game, right? And so 70 is really good, but he got 7 interceptions. You know what I mean? His interception percentage, remember, I always talk about this. It's 3.6, BT. 3.6 interception percentage. So it's too high of a he can turn the ball over, even though he can be amazing on the other side. And so right now it just feels like, all right, he's going to give us 500 football. Let's see if Tua can provide a spark, but also it's time. He's the guy who's going to lead us, and we need to find answers.
But you don't need a spark. I'm not saying that you wouldn't take one, but you usually do it. Hey, we got to stop the bleeding. You know,
yeah, I don't think that's the case.
That's what I'm saying.
You got to think of the mindset of this team. So Because they're good, right? They spent all that money in free agency. The draft was really good. They know that they can compete. They might not be a Super Bowl championship quality team right now, but they know that they can beat. And the first point I made was they're winning the games they're supposed to win, and they're going to do that whether it's Tua or I think Ryan Fitzpatrick. The question is, can they find a way to beat teams? Do they have someone that's special, can do special things to beat the teams that they're not supposed to beat? Ryan Fitzpatrick can't. He throws too many interceptions. We've seen this, like he did against New England, like he did. Who was their fourth game that they lost against Seattle? Like he'll do that in certain occasions.
But how do we know Tua won't?
We don't. But that's what you need to find out.
But at least you know that Fitzpatrick's going to get you the wins that you're supposed to get.
But I think. But I just said I think regardless of who's at quarterback, they're going to get the wins they're supposed to win.
You're probably right.
It's can we find a way to win those games that. Man, that was a possession game. Like in Buffalo, that was a possession game. You know, man, what if we had just a little bit extra whatever, spark, right? You know, I think Tua might give that. So you make this decision in the bye week. You get him fully up to speed because he's now got basically 13 days to master whatever game plan. They'll find out, you know, what he really likes, like what he's comfortable doing. They can institute it and get it operational and then go into the game against the LA Rams and see what happens. And yes, it's a challenge because we know that front four for the Rams, including Aaron Donald, is beastly, but he's an athlete. He's young. He should be, and he's healthy, so he should be good.
It's going to be fun watching.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt.
You know, here's what you know about Fitzpatrick, and it was so apparent. Not that we needed this imagery to support what I'm about to say, but when he's up there, when he's flapping his arms up in the air, imploring the crowd, what's there.
Yeah.
To cheer. I mean, he's such a great guy.
Oh, he's awesome.
He really is.
Yeah.
He's a selfless human being. He's a great teammate. And we all know there's an expiration date on Fitzmagic. There always is, and there always will be.
That's right.
I you know what it is, Teak? It's an unconventional pull in terms of timing.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I struggle with it a bit. Like I historically I've always fundamentally opposed pulling a guy when the performance doesn't warrant being pulled.
Yeah, but
and
I don't
that's
I,
no no, and yeah. You can make the case now. They've won two straight, he's throwing some touchdowns, there's some energy. Technically speaking, Fitzpatrick does not deserve to get benched.
No doubt about it.
That's what I'm saying.
No chance. I mean, he threw for 340 yards against San Francisco. So yeah, I agree. This isn't for performance. I honestly think this might have been before the season even started. It was predetermined that this was going to be the week, and we'll see what you do, Fitz. I mean, if we're 6-0 and sitting atop the division, and we have a chance to win this thing, then probably not. But you're 3-3 again. You've won the games you're supposed to win, and you've lost the games that you were supposed to lose. Let's see what this kid can do now.
Okay, it's going to be fun. Listen, at least I know that when he plays that one team I don't mention anymore, at least I know that I can sit through and watch that game. Because, you know, listen, as much as I like Fitzpatrick, I've seen him. He was on my team. I know what he is.
Yep.
It's not like he's going to, like, move the needle for me as much as I respect him. But now I can validate sitting there and watching it, that horrendous team that I root for, because this kid will be on the field, provided he stays healthy and all goes well. Interesting. Very interesting. They you know, in so many ways here, they take a little bit of a medical flyer on a kid, although it wasn't a cavalier move by any stretch, but it was still, okay, let's hope we're doing the right thing here, right?
Dude, you break your hip socket, man. I mean,
Seriously,
think about that. It's not an injury that's like, okay, I know what's going to happen after, you know, when he comes back from that, he'll be fine. Or he's ruined. We have no idea.
No idea, but he looks spry and he looks bouncy, which is great. So you take a little bit of a medical risk there, but yet you still win enough games to galvanize your fans early, be in a playoff spot. Navigate the first month and a half of the season knowing that the guy that you drafted is now officially fully healthy and ready. And then you make the flip, and now you've got your future franchise quarterback. Dolphins fans hope, and you and I both believe. So you do get a little bit of both worlds. It's not like he's getting 1-5 and, all right, hang on. And,
good luck. Know, it's going to suck for you. Exactly. Sorry, man.
Now he's stepping into a really competitive environment, which will – you know, a lesser man, it could melt, but we know that's not going to happen to him. It will galvanize him. It will probably, on some level, even if we can't quantify it now, it will probably, at the end of the day, accelerate his development.
Yeah, agreed with you, because they're in a position to be good around him.
Correct. Like,
they have good position players around him, and that means so much. Where you get drafted and the situation you find yourself in matters more than almost anything else. Skill, talent, all that other stuff, it's great, but where you go matters.
Okay, and you've been saying that for years, and you're definitely right. Let's get the update from Bobby H. Bob Huesler coming up after that inbounds, out of bounds. So one quarterback in Florida is going to the bench. How about another quarterback? And it ain't going to be Brady, so use your imagination. In the state of Florida, is he going to the bench? Or should he? We'll debate that. Inbounds, out of bounds after Bobby's update, which is right now. Here he is. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a moment here on Tiki and Tierney World Series. Coming up hour number two. Come on, Kershaw. Let's go, buddy. Going to have to break out of this at some point. I can't keep defending you. I mean, I'm trying. I think he pitches well tonight, but I also thought he was going to pitch really well last time out, and he couldn't get it out in the sixth. Anyway, Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader. The early games feature two of the AFC's best going toe-to-toe when Big Ben and the high-flying Steelers. By the way, the Steelers 5-0 for the first time since 1978. I couldn't believe that stat when I saw that. Like the Steelers.
I didn't think that because they've been so good and been the Super Bowls and won Super Bowls. Like, there had to have been a year in there where they were just dominant. But no, guess not. They usually take some time to find their way.
That was a surprising stat, but they are 5-0. And they head to Tennessee. They're rolling as well, although Taylor Lewan is out for the year. And, you know, Conklin is now on a different team. So the offensive line is going to look a little different. But anyway, Tannehill's ball in the Titans' run game is awesome. And later on, most of you will see the Niners, if they can turn their season around. They got a big win against the Rams. They'll take on the Pats, who have dropped two straight. Others will watch the Chiefs battle the Broncos. Get you set up for all the day's action. The NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. Good slate of games there, Teak. Good slate.
Yeah, definitely is a good slate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have some good ones this week. I was just looking at it because I always keep track of the CBS games on the weekend. And, you know, this weekend is one of those because they get jacked around a little bit.
That's
right. When they get moved around. But the 49ers and the Patriots, that'll be good. The Browns, Bengals. Now, you know, it could be horrible or it could be a great matchup.
Either way, it's an important game and revealing game.
That's right. But then most importantly, as you're just talking about, the Chiefs, Broncos, obviously. But then the most important ones is the Steelers and Titans, because two of the remaining three undefeated teams in football right now. So that's the matchup to watch.
Fired up. You ready for a little IBOB? See what
I am. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
Here we go. So after a very surprising week one win over the Colts, by the way, a win that got me a little nervous since I have the under for the Jaguars, 4.5 total wins on the season. I was a little worried after that first win. But anyway, the Jaguars have lost 5 straight. There we go. That's more in line with the bet. With second-year quarterback Gardner Minshew struggling, although I do like Minshew. You know that. I'm a big Minshew fan.
Yep.
He scuffled a bit here, Tiki. In the 5 losses, Minshew has 8 touchdowns with 5 picks. And he's attempting or averaging a little less than 7 yards per attempt. So after the loss Sunday to the Lions, during which Minshew completed just 56% of his passes, head coach Doug Marrone, who is also on thin ice, didn't close the door on possibly benching Gardner Minshew.
But was there any thought today of putting Minshew on the bench?
No. Maybe, yeah. I mean, in the future, I think, I mean, I'd be naive not to say, you know, that's up for any position, you know, any place where we can figure ourselves to get better. But no, I didn't feel that way during the course of the game.
All right. So if Minshew continues to scuffle, the Jaguars should bench him. Inbounds or out of bounds?
I'm going to say, I'm going to say out of bounds. It's one to think about, though. Because I could go either way here. The Jaguars aren't, you know, not doing anything this year, but don't you want to find out fully about Gardner Minshew? Because the backup is Mike Glennon.
Correct.
We know who Mike Glennon is, and we know what he's all about, and he's never going to be anything other than a backup in the National Football League. So you're not going to learn anything about yourself or your quarterback position by benching Gardner Minshew. But
correct.
You got to see how Gardner pulls through adversity, and every player I don't care what position you play, but particularly quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, they're going to go through some rough times. You got to let them pull themselves through it, just so you know if they can.
That's why I don't love bringing back coaches who, in my estimation, shouldn't be brought back, because the issue of self-preservation, which is always there. I mean,
great
nobody
point.
Wants it. Thank you.
This is a great point you're making.
Nobody wants to lose. No. Nobody wants to get saddled with a 3-13 record that takes 2 or 3 years of positive play elsewhere if you get another job to basically eradicate that and get it back to, or at least get it back to even. Not fully eradicate, but you know what I mean. To go to Mike Glennon would just be, yo, man, I'm drowning. I know I'm going to get fired, and I don't feel going 2-14. Mike, go help us win 3 or 4 or 5 games, maybe. Make this thing a little bit more palatable, which does nothing for the direction of the franchise. If anything, it makes it worse because it further distances you from the first overall pick, which will be Trevor Lawrence, or maybe even the second or third overall pick, which very well could be Justin Fields. So I wouldn't do it. Now, they drafted a kid in the 6th round, the kid from Oregon State, Jake, what is Jake Luton? Jake Luton, I think it is.
Yeah.
He was a late pick. He hasn't gotten any run. Then again, Gardner Minshew was a late pick, too.
Yep.
I know this kid has some size. He's 6'6", 220. If you're sitting here telling me, you know what, we've loved what we've seen from this kid in practice, I'm going to give him a look, that's different. But if Mike Glennon's playing football, that's moronic.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I don't know what else. That's moronic.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, T. After firing Nate McMillan, who we all like, Nate's a good basketball man. Earlier this season, the Pacers no longer looking for a new head coach. They hire former Raptors assistant Nate Bjorkgren. All right, this afternoon, Bjorkgren has been, this happened today. He's been an assistant with the Raptors since 2018, coached a couple of G League teams as well. So kind of like Nick Nurse, he's, you know, really refined his craft in relative obscurity. Doesn't mean the man can't coach. Look at Nick Nurse, one of the best in the game. So in or out, the Pacers should have hired an established big-name coach to appease their star, Victor Oladipo.
No, definitely not. This is out of bounds. Nate Bjorkgren, however you say his last name, we'll find out eventually because we're going to be saying it a lot now that he's a head coach. But they're not even considering Victor Oladipo as their core, as like their anchor superstar player. I mean, all you read when you read about the Indianapolis Indiana Pacers is that they might trade him. So absolutely not. I mean, you feel like you need to start anew. You need to reset expectations and have a different culture. Mm-hmm. You hire the coach that you think that can bring it. The players are going to change. We know that for a fact. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
Oh, this is so far out of bounds. It didn't even pass inbounds on the interstate because it came from a totally different direction because it was nowhere near inbounds. unequivocally out of bounds. Appease Victor Oladipo? Stop. I mean, first of all, Victor Oladipo's finances are, here's what they are, all right? He's got $21 million, which, if he's healthy, is actually fine. It's a relative bargain, mm-hmm. I would say, because he's a really good player when he's right, although that quad issue was... He lost a little bit of that bounce, but we'll see if he can regenerate in the offseason. So his contract expires after next season. He's not going to resign there in probability because you're not going to want to resign him. So you trade him. I know the Knicks might make a play. You know what? If I'm the Sixers, I might make a play. There's a lot of teams I would make a play for. And he'll be gone. So nothing that he will not be on that team next year. There's nothing that the Pacers do or will do that should revolve around what Victor Oladipo thinks. Now, Malcolm Brogdon, Malcolm's got 3 years to go on his deal. Miles Turner, he's got 3 years to go on his deal at about $18 million a pop, which is roughly $45 million, you know, over the next couple of years. TJ Warren, he's got a couple of years to go guaranteed loot. You know, the Sabonis for sure. But Oladipo does not matter in the thought process of the Pacers. It is what it is. I totally agree with you.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, boy, this is gonna be tough to watch. I almost feel sorry for Bucks fans as this one plays out. They're gonna sweat this one. So the Bucks are in a rough predicament with their star Giannis, and they're expected, no surprise here, to offer the two-time reigning MVP a 5-year supermax extension worth around $221 million once free agency starts, whenever it starts, probably sometime in, I don't know, December. I don't even know when. So soon though. However, Giannis has indicated he'll play out the final season of his deal this year to see how the team's building around him before deciding if he's going to stay, but will not request a trade. So he's going to do the right thing, but not make a scene. It's kind of half-stepping. It's a little uncomfortable for everybody. Now ESPN's reporting that multiple sources have, quote, emphatically said the Bucks will not trade him even if he rejects the offer. Now, that's a dangerous game.
Yeah.
In or out, the Bucks should trade Giannis before the deadline if they feel like they can, if they feel like they have a slim chance of re-signing him.
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT, because I think that the Milwaukee Bucks have to be all in on re-signing Giannis, the two-time MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year this year, BT. They have to, even if the thought is slim, or that he's the prospect is slim, the thought is that he's going to head elsewhere to try to, you know, pair himself with another star and become a champion. But I definitely think that they need to, even if it's slim, they have to keep fighting to hang on to him and not trade him, even if it goes down to the wire and into the next year's offseason. So out of bounds.
I'm going to say inbounds here. But I know, but I'm going to work the words. So
they're all hating you. They're all hating you in Milwaukee right now.
I know they are. And I hate that they hate me, because I really want good things for them. They're a great fan base. I've said that many times. And I hope that this does get resolved and it doesn't come to this. But again, the way I'm looking at the words. So if they feel like they have a slim chance of resigning him, I'm going to actually take those words, delete them, and insert a few of my own. The relationship that they have with Giannis, I do not believe that there'll be any guesswork involved. So when Mike writes, you know, they should trade him before the deadline if they feel like they have a slim chance. No, you can't deal in feelings. You have to deal in knowledge in the situation. And I believe that Giannis will be stand up enough. If things are going well, you'll know that he's going to resign. If things are not going well, I believe he'll communicate that to you. At least that's my hope. And you will know if he's bouncing. And if he looks you in the eye, or if you ask him for a straight-up answer, I believe that Giannis will give you one. And I believe that you would be a fool not to take that message and then act on that and try to get back a boatload of assets rather than risk him bouncing for nothing. That can't happen. The only thing that would be worse, you know, I mean, him going, and the emptiness in the soul of the Bucks franchise, would be if he leaves and you don't get multiple first-round picks and quality players for him, which you will. You have to trade him if you believe he's not coming back.
Are you in or are you out?
This is a pretty good program here. The Liberty Flames, all right? They were in the FCS for years in the Big South, but they moved to – they're nice.
Yeah.
They just pounded Syracuse this weekend, right?
But Liberty – I mean, Syracuse is
– But still.
Tommy DeVito didn't even play. I think their backup to Tommy didn't play either. They're just bad. Yeah, but, yes, but Liberty – I agree, BT.
They're doing a nice little thing here.
They hired
former Ole Miss coach Hugh Freeze to lead the program. Now, it's their second year at college football's top division. It's a Lynchburg, Virginia evangelical Christian school. Mm-hmm. That's where Tiki and Rondé were going to go if the Cavaliers didn't give them each $150,000 under the table.
Yes. So I can evangelize around the world.
Exactly. You can prophesize and evangelize for $500,000. You can make stuff up. I will. So they're both they're 5-0, all right? And they just whacked Syracuse.
Yep.
And they racked up over 500 yards on Dino's squad. Liberty should remain an independent unless they're invited to join a Power 5 conference.
No, you should always, if you can drive out of bounds, join a Power 5 if you can. There's not that many that are going to be available for them because of their proximity. It'd probably have to be the ACC, and the ACC is not going to take any.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say out of bounds. They should if they can.
You know, I certainly see the merit with that. Any conference affiliation, hell, especially one like the ACC, you'd be out of your minds not to jump at that. But it wouldn't be an issue of Liberty not wanting the ACC. It would be the very obvious issue of the ACC not wanting Liberty, which I fully get.
Yep.
You know, the only reason I would say inbounds here is if they can parlay this into, you know, 3, 4, 5 straight years of this. Then, rather than jumping at the first opportunity, then you do possibly become more viable to the ACC or somebody else. Still probably not. Either way, you get to schedule bigger games and make some money and go to bowls and put out pros. So you're in a good spot. Tough question. I could go either way.
Yeah.
But I'll say inbounds based on the timing. All right, Teak. Hour 2 coming up. Baseball. Let's get it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.